Bernard Francis Casey was born on a farm near Prescott, Wisconsin in 1870. He was called Barney by his family, his nine siblings, and his Irish immigrant parents. They were very, very poor. Today, Barney is known as Blessed Solanus Casey. Solanus was the name given to him when he professed religion as a Franciscan friar, a Capuchin Franciscan friar. Blessed Solanus was beatified in 2015 in Detroit. Detroit was the last place that he served as a friar. He was also ordained a priest. He was the porter at the friary in Detroit. We can almost claim Solanus as our own hometown saint because he lived for a while in this archdiocese. His parents could not afford keeping him at home, so they said, you've got to go find a job, get some work. So he went to Stillwater, worked for a while in the state prison, and he was actually confirmed at St. Michael's Church in Stillwater. Two of his brothers were priests of our archdiocese. At the beginning of this school year, one of our orientation exercises at the seminary was to go on a half-day pilgrimage, to find a place within 100 miles of St. Paul that has some association with a saint or something holy, and go on a pilgrimage. So each floor, each hall group, was assigned to do that. And our group decided, at my suggestion, to go to Stillwater to honor the life and legacy of Blessed Solanus and to pray for his intercession. Because Solanus has a great connection to seminarians. Blessed Solanus became known as a miracle worker even during his lifetime. And I proposed him as an example of perseverance to the seminarians because, like some of them, Solanus had great difficulty with his studies. He was actually kicked out of the seminary in Milwaukee, and he went home. Then he went to work in Superior as a streetcar operator. He fell in love with a woman, proposed marriage to her, but her parents refused to allow her to be married to Solanus because his family was too poor. So Barney Solanus went back home, and his pastor believed that he still had a vocation to the priesthood. So he said, why don't you try going somewhere else? And he said, why don't you try the Franciscans, the Capuchin Franciscans in Detroit? So Solanus went off to Detroit, and was finally ordained a priest, now with the name of Solanus. Hundreds, perhaps thousands, of miraculous healings have been attributed to the intercession of Blessed Solanus. He was known as the miracle worker. There would be long lines outside the friary of people waiting to see him, and he would see everybody and pray with them. And many of them experienced miraculous healings. They continue after his death. The miracle that secured his beatification was a woman from Panama. She was a church worker. She worked on the staff of a parish as a pastoral worker. Some of the friars there were Capuchins, and they said, why don't you go to Detroit on pilgrimage to visit the shrine of Blessed Solanus? And she did that, and she took with her all the intercessions of all the sick people that she would visit. She traveled to the shrine. She brought her many intercessions, and while kneeling at the tomb of Blessed Solanus, she heard a voice. She said, a very physical, audible voice. And that voice said, but how about you? What do you want for yourself? She had just been praying for everyone else's intercessions. And so she said, all right. And she prayed for healing for her skin disease that had afflicted her since birth. And by the next morning, she was miraculously healed. Paula was her name. She obviously had something to be thankful for, something big. Her whole life changed because of that miracle attributed through the intercession of Blessed Silanus. But we might ask, as we reflect on these miracles, do we always get what we ask for? And should we be thankful just for the things that we pray for? Not according to Blessed Silanus. Many, many physical healings were attributed to and continue to be through Silanus' intercession. But Silanus knew that it wasn't always the will of God to heal a person. There was one woman who came to Father Silanus, whose husband was in the hospital and too ill to come to the friary. And so she came to Silanus to ask for a miracle. And she asked him if he would call her husband in the hospital. So Silanus agreed and was talking to the husband on the phone. And she was eavesdropping. And she heard Silanus say to her husband, "I'm praying that you will have a happy death." And she ran into the room and she screamed and she said, "That's not what I asked for." But Silanus just smiled and said, "He is so at peace. He's happy and at peace with the fact that he's going to die soon and he's going to be with the Lord." Silanus knew that it was God's will that he not be healed. People were not always healed by Father Silanus, but they always felt better. They always felt closer to God and more at peace when Silanus prayed with them. So what does Blessed Silanus teach us about thanksgiving? He always used to say, "Thank God ahead of time." That's his signature phrase. Thank God ahead of time, even before you know you're going to get what you ask for. Thank God ahead of time. He had such confidence in God that God would give us whatever we need. Maybe not what we ask for explicitly, but he will give us what we need. And he will usually give us more than what we ask for. So we should thank God ahead of time, fully confident that God knows what is for our good. Jesus teaches the same lesson today in the gospel. Jesus had sent out the 72 disciples to go out and preach the gospel. But before preaching the gospel, they healed people. And that's what I teach the seminarians. I say, before we can teach the gospel, we have to look at what do people need? What do they need? And that's what Jesus taught those 72 disciples when they went out. And they came back rejoicing, full of thanks, full of gratitude. They were bubbling over with gratitude. And they came back and they said, "Lord, even the demons are subject to us because of your name." They were so grateful for the miracles of healing they performed in the name of Jesus. But then what does Jesus say? He says, "Don't rejoice because the spirits are subject to you, but rejoice because your names are written in heaven." And then Jesus rejoiced and gave thanks to his Father because the Father had revealed the mysteries of his kingdom to those disciples. He said, "Blessed are your eyes for what they see. Blessed are the ears that hear what you hear." What are we thankful for today? Maybe you've experienced a miraculous healing of body or spirit. Maybe you've been healed of a sinful addiction. Maybe a family rupture has been healed. Or maybe not. On this Thanksgiving Day, Jesus invites us to be thankful for what our eyes have seen, what our ears have heard. And you're here today because you know the source of all gifts is God. And that's why you come today to give thanks, Eucharist, give thanks for everything. Jesus invites us to be thankful for what our eyes have seen and our ears have heard. We have seen the Lord right here when we come to Mass, the Holy Eucharist, in all the sacraments. And we have heard the words of eternal life in the Gospel, in the Word of God. Those are the greatest gifts of all. Today, thank God ahead of time for all his gifts, but especially his promise of eternal life. Rejoice because your names are written in heaven.